Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome. I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmarts4u.com. That's the letter U and the number 4.com. Back in April, I went over some basic concepts you need to know about managing your investment portfolio. You might want to consider going back and listening to those podcasts, especially considering what's going on in recent market activities. Today, I'm going to go over the five things you need to do to take care of your investments and your finances in light of this market volatility. The first thing you need to remember to do is stay calm. I know everybody's telling you that, but it's a market correction. Look at it as a sale. You wouldn't get all upset if they had a sale at Macy's or anywhere like that. So try to relax and approach it from that standpoint. Let's start out with something really simple. Number one, draw up a simple financial statement. Now, you may ask yourself, why am I doing this right now? Well, one of the reasons is you want to see how your assets play out, and you want to see how much debt you have, because one of the things that's causing this market movement is debt all around the world. I find that if you draw up a quick financial statement by gathering your bank statements, investment account statements, your IRA, 401k, employee stock purchase accounts, and other statements together, as well as the real estate appraisal statements from your local tax district, then you can make a pretty good, simple financial statement. Yes, accountants will say lower of cost or market. So they would say put down the value of the house when you bought it, not the value of the house right now, because, of course, that's a market that moves just like the stock market, only it is not publicly traded, so it's not something you can see every day. But for our purposes today, we're just going to use, you know, what your house has been appraised at recently, as well as the current market values or the most recent statement value of your investment accounts and your IRA and 401k accounts. If you want to look up the actual stock prices or mutual fund prices so you can have a almost mark-to-the-market financial statement, you're welcome to do so. You'll want to start out listing cash, like you might have in your checking account or money market fund, any CDs or short-term treasury notes or bills that you might have, anything that matures less than a year. And you're going to want to put those under the category of current assets. And beneath those, you're going to list stocks. And the reason is that stocks can be liquidated fairly quickly. These would be stocks or mutual funds that you own in your own name, not in a retirement account. That's a separate listing. Okay, so you'll list those and what the value is. Beneath that, if you own any bonds, municipal bonds, corporate bonds, treasury bonds, those would be listed under a separate category because they are not current assets. For the most part, those mature longer than 1 year. And what we're wanting to look at today is not only different asset classes, but we're wanting to look at how much money you have available to you that matures in less than a year or that can be liquidated very quickly. Okay. Now, we've listed your cash, short-term investments, common stocks. We've created a category for bonds. And now we're going to add real estate, which would include your home value by the appraisal district in your town and any other real estate you might own, like a second home, a second condo, or raw land that you might be holding onto for long-term growth. Then we're going to create a category for retirement plan assets. I know you can access your retirement funds if you have to. You can take the money out and you can pay a 10% penalty plus your tax rate, which could be a maximum of 40%. Which is a total of 50% tax if you're under the age of 59 and a half. But the whole point of having retirement assets and having them in IRAs and 401ks and Roth IRAs is so that money can accumulate and compound on a tax-deferred or tax-free basis. So we don't want to touch those, but we want to consider them a long-term asset, and we want to look at them from the standpoint that they're supposed to be here for us later on in our lives. Now that you've listed all these assets, you've taken the valuations either from the account or you've looked them up online to see what the current value is, add up the total for these assets. Now, below this asset list, we're going to list your liabilities, and that would include short-term liabilities like credit card debt. If you have a car loan that is coming due this year, that would be listed there. If you have margin debt, that would be listed there. If you don't know what margin debt is, I'm going to explain it in a little while. And then below that, because that's short-term debt that we've listed so far, below that you're going to make a list of long-term debt, which would be your mortgage, or if you have a student loan that's longer than a year, you're going to put student loan debt there too. Any other debts you might have that have to be paid back in more than a year, then that would be a long-term debt. Now, you're going to total up your debts or your liabilities. And now that you have the total of your assets and the total of your liabilities, you're going to subtract the liabilities from your assets, and we're going to hope that you have a positive number, i.e. that you've got more assets than liabilities. Okay. Now, as I mentioned to you before, one of the reasons we're doing this, and I find it very comforting, maybe you don't, but to be able to see everything in one place, to see exactly what you've got, okay? And this allows you to see how much cash you have. Do you have enough, $1,000 for an emergency? Do you have 6 to 9 months annual expenses saved in case you lose your job? Because the stock market volatility, yes, it upsets you because you see the value of your accounts going down. But the point really is, do you need that money right now? And if you have a job that you're fairly secure in, and you have cash available in case for some reason you did lose your job, you really don't need to be too concerned about stock market volatility. You need to pay attention to why it's happening and what's happening, but you don't need to react to it and make a mistake and sell at the wrong time. Okay. Now, the other thing you need to do here, because we're going to talk next about diversification, is you need to see what your proportion is of cash to stocks to bonds to real estate so that you know what kind of liquidity you have compared to the debts you owe. Okay, now, why does this matter? All right, real estate is usually a fairly illiquid asset. It often can take, if you decided you wanted to sell your house tomorrow or a piece of real estate you might own for investment, yes, it's possible somebody might, you know, show up a week from now and decide they wanted to buy it. But for the most part, you're looking at an asset that can take anywhere from 3 months to a year, maybe even longer, depending on the market in your area, to sell. So having a lot of money in real estate is great if you have a lot of cash and other short-term investments, if that is your only source of income. If you have a job that pays you an income, well, then that's kind of a horse of a different color, so to speak. So you're taking a look now at your proportion of cash to stocks to bonds to see how you stack up. Now, we're going to talk about diversification. Oh, and by the way, preparing a statement like this about once a year is a really good exercise. It also lets you kind of see where you're going, if you're moving forward or backward, if you've taken on a little more debt than maybe you had taken into account, if maybe you've used up a lot of your cash, or possibly if you need to diversify further your portfolio. We're going to talk about diversification right now. During periods of market volatility, such as we've seen over the last few weeks and this week, it is a good idea to review the concept of diversification, and it refers to how your assets are invested. We're going to look at two kinds right now. We're going to talk about, is your money in one place, all in one place? That means, do you have it all in the same financial institution? Or do you have it all in the same kind of investment asset? First of all, make sure you don't have too much money in one financial institution. If your money is in a bank, is the bank FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, insured? And if it is, keep in mind that that has a maximum of insurance of $250,000, and that applies to bank deposits and CDs. It does not apply to any mutual funds you might buy through the bank or something like that. Okay, that's something that you need to discuss with your bank. Chances are, if your bank offers mutual funds, they have also probably set up a securities account for you, which is probably covered by Securities Investor Protection Corporation insurance. That insurance protects assets in accounts up to $500,000, including $250,000 in cash, or up to $250,000 in cash. But it does not cover you for market volatility, okay? SIPC insurance only covers your assets from malfeasance. Let's say the securities firm goes bankrupt, or someone in the firm absconds with money. Okay, your account, $500,000 or less, up to $250,000 in cash, will be covered by that insurance. Okay, just keep that in mind. One other thing to take a look at, if you are investing in mutual funds and you have decided to reach for higher yields lately, some high-yield mutual funds are invested in business loans. Business loans are not considered securities. Therefore, they are not covered in the event someone runs off of the money. They're not covered by the SIPC insurance. So keep that in mind. Okay, they don't have a ready market, and they're not considered securities in many cases by the SEC. So read your mutual fund brochures. Take a look online if you don't have a brochure, and see what your high-yield mutual funds are invested in. As for asset classes and diversification, you may want to figure out what percentage of your portfolio is in stocks, what section is in cash, how much fixed income you have, real estate, precious metals, commodities, CDs, art, or whatever else you have your money invested in at this time. And know those percentages. If all your money is in stocks, then the stock market volatility will cause you to see your overall net worth fall quickly and maybe create more stress than you need to endure. If you have cash to cover 6 to 9 months of expenses, then you may have the confidence to ride out any market volatility. If you fear you may be in danger of losing your job, then you want to make sure that you accumulate a little bit more cash. Diversification is a strategy that's designed to smooth out the ups and downs of the market. Having all of your money in one company or one industry will create more volatility in your portfolio than having money in different companies and different industries spread along the economic spectrum. In times when the entire market is affected by downward movement, you may find that if you're also diversified into income-bearing stocks or bonds, that is, dividend-paying stocks, as well as income-producing bonds, as well as growth stocks, that this may cushion the downward movement through the benefit of a dividend or interest payment that provides you cash flow from those investments. Now that you have a financial statement, take a look at how you're diversified in your investments, especially your retirement funds. If you have everything in company stock, then you have a great deal of risk in your life, because if your company were to fail, as Enron did many years ago, you will find that you will not only lose your job, but you will also lose your life savings at the same time. Now, I'm not talking about employee stock purchase plans, which is separate from your IRA or separate from your 401k plan. I'm talking about companies where the only choice they have for you to invest in your 401k, or where one of the choices for your 401k is company stock. Resist the temptation. You may work there. It may be the most wonderful company in the world. But when there is some kind of setback, you will see a dramatic drop all across your investment spectrum if you have most of your money in the same company where you work. So diversify outside of company stock if you can. Admittedly, when your employee purchase plan offers you a discount on the purchase price, great, go for it. But don't put the same thing in your 401k plan or your IRA or in your investment account. Diversify. Have your eggs in different baskets. Okay. Now's the time to study the various mutual fund choices you have for your 401k plan before the upcoming enrollment period, which usually falls towards the end of the year when there are other distractions like the impending holiday season. For some reason, everything happens in November. So now is the time to start working ahead. You might also want to start looking at your health plan and seeing, talking to the people there so that you can actually get some time with them, as well as looking at the 401k plan choices available to you. Now might be a good time to look at the choices you've made, review the investments that are in these portfolios, look at your diversification percentages, and also check out the other fund choices available to you from that family of funds where you already have your money. You may want to have a different percentage of money in the growth stock fund than the big cap fund, or you may want to add an international fund or an income fund, depending on your particular needs and your risk profile. Just remember to diversify your holdings to allow you to weather the days when the market is highly volatile. In addition, when you're reviewing the mutual funds you may own, check to see if that fund uses leverage to enhance the rate of return that the fund is producing. Consider that any debt a mutual fund uses will have to be paid back at some point. So not only will that ratchet up the volatility, causing more stocks within the fund to have to be sold to pay off debt, but if interest rates increase over the next year, the interest expense for that fund will increase. Make sure you know and understand if the fund uses leverage or debt, and if so, how much it does use. This information should be available in the prospectus. It should also be available online on the online prospectus that's available. You can take a look at this online. Number three, rebalancing. If you already follow the practice of diversifying your portfolio and you use an asset allocation strategy, then times of market volatility allow you the opportunity to rebalance. For example, if your original allocation is 60% stocks, 30% fixed income, and 10% cash, and you find that the stocks in your portfolio have increased in value to be equal to 70% of your portfolio, then it may be time to sell some shares and rebalance. On the other hand, if the market is down quite a bit, and you find the reverse to be true, that you now have 50% in stocks with a buildup of cash, then you may want to do some bargain hunting for a company in an industry that is experiencing a downturn during the gyrations of the market. If your favorite stock is down and you wish to own more of it, then it may be time to buy more shares at a lower price and use the dollar cost averaging or averaging down technique to add to your portfolio. If you can think of it as a sale on quality merchandise, it is sometimes a little easier to take downward volatility in the market. As for bonds, you may want to review the length of the maturity of your fixed income investments if you have any. Have you created a ladder of maturities where each year or every 6 months you have bonds maturing, where you have money coming available for reinvestment or for you to employ elsewhere? Review the quality of the bonds you own, their bond ratings, and the maturity dates so you'll be aware of when you need to be making investment decisions in the future and where to put the money. I go back to asset allocation. If you need to be rebalancing when you have a bond mature, then make the appropriate decision. Do you go back into bonds? Do you put some money in stock? Do you put that money in cash? What we're doing is an exercise that, if you do it on a regular basis, will make it a lot easier to weather these downward turns. In addition, you want to know how much debt the company issuing the bond has, and if it is a municipality, if there's any unfunded retirement debt that is not disclosed at this point. Check out the bond ratings as well to find out if the issuer has been downgraded recently. Four, work to pay down debt. If you have margin debt where you've borrowed against your securities in order to either buy more securities, or if you've borrowed to pay off other debt, or to just plain spend that money, it is time to get rid of that debt. Much of the market volatility we see is related to margin calls that occur when stock prices go down, lowering the value of the stocks as collateral for the funds borrowed on margin. Let's say your portfolio is worth $100,000. If you're allowed to borrow up to 50% of your portfolio's value, and you borrow $50,000, which is the full amount that you're allowed to borrow, then you're living on the edge, for one thing, and you're likely to get a margin call if the market goes against you. If your stocks drop in value and are now worth $90,000, you are only allowed to borrow $45,000, and that is when you get a margin call, requiring you to come up with a difference between the $50,000 you borrowed and the $45,000 you are now entitled to borrow, which is equal to to $5,000. But not just $5,000. There will also be interest charges that you will also have to pay off as well. If you don't have the cash to meet the margin call, then you will have to sell stock to cover that debt. The more people who have margin debt, then the more volatility will be seen in the markets when there is a correction, since margin calls must be covered quickly, actually within a day or two. As for other kinds of debt, the less debt you have, the less likely market volatility will worry you, since you will not have to be concerned about paying off the debt by having to sell your securities portfolio. Make an effort to evaluate your spending plan, and if you find you're leaning a little heavily on the use of credit cards or that you've not been paying them off in full, then consider lowering that debt. As I mentioned last week, check your agreement with the card issuer. If the Federal Reserve raises interest rates in the coming months, you may find that the interest you're paying on your credit card balances may be higher and cost you more money. If you have credit card debt, make a plan to pay that off over the next few months or year. Hopefully you have a fixed rate mortgage, or if not, are close to paying your mortgage off. If your mortgage rate is a floating one, or one that will start to float in the next few years, you may want to consider refinancing your home now to get a fixed rate while rates are low. If you're happy with your mortgage, then consider making it every year, allowing you to pay it off sooner. You'll feel much better when you have your home paid off and you don't have to make that large payment every month. Having debt puts you at more financial risk and makes you more dependent on the outcome of your investments, creating more anxiety for you when the markets are more volatile. 5, make a list of companies you want to own. To borrow money in this world has been very cheap for quite a while now. Because of that, what you can earn on your money safely invested is very low as well. It has caused a lot of people, businesses, and countries to reach for higher returns. In reaching for higher returns, these investors have chosen companies, projects, funds that are taking more risk than previously, often lower quality proposals than they might have considered years before. Keep in mind that the higher the return, the higher the risk of investment. As a result, a number of these investments have been iffy, maybe riskier than necessary, maybe leveraged more than previously. No one is looking out for you other than you. So when you consider an investment that sounds too good to be true, or is paying a much higher rate than anything else, or promises to have a greater percentage of development return, check and see how much debt is being used and what the quality is of the companies that are involved or the company that you're looking at. Keep in mind, it's up to you to look at the financial statements of the companies you're invested in, not just the stock price, because there are natural laws at work with money, and eventually real earnings will trump projected earnings any day. Real dividends and interest payments will trump estimated dividends and payments any day. Real cash flow will matter once again. So look at the debt-to-equity ratios when you look at the financial statements. Again, you can look these up online. Look at the current ratios, that is current assets divided by current liabilities. Remember that someday all this debt is going to have to be paid back. If not, then there will be a lot of losses that will have to be taken by someone, most likely the investors, the equity partners, the stockholders, the bondholders, the angel investors, the hedge funds, and the venture capitalists, or possibly even the taxpayers, bailing out yet another financial institution too big to fail. Thank you all so much for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Please email me your questions or your thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. That's M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, the number 4, the letter U.com, and we will cover them in future shows. Remember, only you can take care of yourself. So take care of your money to take care of yourself. Thanks for joining me today, and have a good week.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.